going to try to work your patience very long this morning, but the thought that's on our heart, I think, is applicable to us as a church, as saved people. To be honest with you, the next few Sundays, we may be looking at a series of sermons. I don't do that very often. I usually don't like to get into a series. I sometimes don't think they're very good things. But what the Lord has laid upon our hearts is kind of a back to the basics type thing. A lot of us have been members of the Lord's church for a long time. Some of us have not been members of the church near as long, but even myself sometimes I wonder why things are the way that they are. If I were to title this series of lessons, and I'm going to make this disclaimer now, I may come back next week and it may be completely different from where that I think that I'm going to go the next few Sundays. If that's the case, that's what the Lord has in store. I'm not going to nail myself down to preaching something that God would not have on our hearts. I believe in following the leadership of the Lord, and I think that this message today, you might understand it. If I were to name this lesson series, and you're going to think it's a little funny, I don't care how long you've been a member of the Lord's church, there's still things you can learn. And if I were to title this series of lessons that we may preach, it would be New Members 101. You say, "Preacher, I'm not a new member." That's probably true. But every one of us have to learn the basics. There's things that we all need to know. You say, "Preacher, why don't you teach on that on Wednesday night or on Sunday night or in Sunday school?" Well, guess what? You're all here this morning. I get an opportunity to tell you all at one time. So I'm glad to be able to do that. Our first lesson in this series is going to be about the Holy Spirit. Now, you say, "Preacher, that's very trivial. We all know what the Spirit is." Do you really? Do we really know what the Holy Spirit is? We talk about it. I get up here on Sunday morning and I say, "I want you all to follow the Lord." And sometimes I get this deer in the headlights look. Like, what does it mean to follow the Lord? I want to give you a kind of a statement that I think we as Christian people have kind of adopted among ourselves, or a kind of a belief that we have, that the Holy Spirit only works between the hours of 11 and 12 on Sunday morning. Sometimes I think that's the only time we expect God to reveal His Holy Spirit to us. We've gotten in that shape. I want you to turn with us this morning to 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And I'm going to start in a very odd place. That's fine. But I like the way Paul ended this book. Paul was writing to the Corinthian church. He told them a lot of things. He gave them a lot of instruction. He tried to clear up a lot of error. But what he said at the end, I believe, is an amazing thing for our churches today. Because if you've ever been around a missionary Baptist church long enough, you've heard the statement, "We don't have a set order of worship, we follow the Lord." Or, "We follow the Spirit." Well, do we really? We're going to try to answer some of that today. I want us to think about the Holy Spirit. We're going to start in the 11th verse. And it says, "Finally, brethren, farewell." Paul was ending his letter. He told them everything that God had wanted him to tell them. So he says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. I'm out of here. I'm leaving you to do what you have to do." Listen to what he says next. "Be perfect." Are you perfect? He didn't say we were going to be perfect, but I think there's a word in there that was left out. What Paul was telling them was, try or do your best to be perfect. Do as best you can. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I promise that's not what I'm preaching on this morning. All the saints salute you. This is where I want to get to. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. First of all, I want to break down that verse of Scripture. It says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ." All of us that have been around our churches have heard about the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're three in one, one in the same. And we say, preacher, how does that work? How can one thing be three things? And how can three things be one thing? Guess what? I don't have the answer. But I will say this, with God all things are possible. So it's possible. Three things can be one thing, and one thing can be three things. You see, we have been accused a lot of times of believing in more than one God. We don't. We believe in one God. The Bible says in Ephesians, I believe the second chapter, it says one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. It is a Trinity. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you'll hear it called the Holy Ghost. I looked up this week about how many times they used Holy Ghost instead of Holy Spirit. And I believe it was between the seven or nine mark. All of the times that the King James Version has been translated, those men translated the Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost about 7 to 9 times. Most of the time we hear it called the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, as Paul wrote, he called it the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to explain something about this verse of Scripture. I like the way that he ends it. He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. We've got two of them right there. We're talking about the grace of the Lord. Let it be with you. And the love of God. You see, the love of God and the grace of Jesus Christ, they are important to us. Without those, nobody gets saved. But then what is the end for the church? He says, in the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. What does communion mean? Some of you, if I said communion, you would probably say, well, that's the Lord's Supper. No. Communion is a fellowship. The very definition of the word communion is the sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings. That's the very definition of the word communion. And so if I were to title this message this morning, it would be the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So I want you to think about something this morning. How much do we really fellowship the Holy Spirit? You say, preacher, I fellowship it all of the time. I'm a saved child of God. I know what the Holy Spirit is. Well, I want to dive in just a little bit today. And like I said, I'm not going to try to worry your patience. So I'll do my best to zoom through this as quick as possible. I do want to make mention of this, though, and this verse of Scripture. Paul did say the Holy Ghost. Now, that's not one of those little Casper-looking things that has cutouts in its eyes and goes around scaring people. That is not the kind of ghost that he's talking about. You see, today we have put that belief or that terminology on the word ghost. What it was talking about was a supernatural thing that was going about when Paul was writing this. We weren't talking about ghost hunters. That's not what he was talking about. But when we look at the Holy Spirit, we have very big definitions about the Holy Spirit, don't we? We talk about it in our services. We say, well, I want the Holy Spirit to be here. I want the Spirit to do this, or I want the Spirit to do that. 1 John says that we should try the spirits. You see, I'm of the opinion there is more than one Spirit out there. There's one Holy Spirit, but there's other spirits. You see, the devil himself has spirits out there that go around trying to make themselves out to be the Holy Spirit. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. Let me ask you something. Can God do things wrong? No. Is God the author of confusion? No. So let me ask you something. Is God going to give the same church two different answers? Yet when we say, this is what God has laid upon my heart, and somebody else says, well, God laid this on my heart, we've got a conflict there. That's a conflict that God did not cause. You know who did? The devil. The devil would like for us to think that he has the right answers, and guess what? He can disguise himself very, very well. You don't believe me? Look around at our churches today. I'm of the opinion, if our churches really fellowship the Holy Spirit like they ought to, there wouldn't be a pastor that wasn't supposed to be in one of these churches, and every church would have the pastor that they were supposed to have. But you see, what the devil does is he likes to get in there and he likes to say, well, I like this person or I like that person. They have good character or they have a good speech. But you see, it's what God wants that really matters. You see, if the Holy Spirit is in it, it will always be right. You see, when the devil has his way, it's always wrong. So when we think about fellowshipping the Holy Spirit, I want you to understand something. The Spirit will always give you, the true Spirit will always give you the right answers. Now, how many of you have ever seen the Holy Spirit? Jesus, as he began to speak to Nicodemus, he said, the wind goes, but we don't see where. We feel it, but we don't know how. If you look at the Greek and the Hebrew word for wind and spirit, it's the same word. It's pneuma or ruach is the Hebrew word. It means the exact same thing. When Jesus was speaking to him there, he was talking about the same thing. So, how many of you have ever seen the Holy Spirit? I have. I've seen it plenty of times. You said, preacher, you just said I couldn't see it. How many of you have ever seen the wind blow? I've seen the effects of the wind blow. You look at a flag. As the wind begins to blow, that flag begins to move. Let's see if it moves. Let's see if that thing moves on its own. Doesn't look like it's going to. But watch this. If I go down here and aid it a little bit, what moves? I moved it. You know what has to move every single one of us? The Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit doesn't move you, bless your heart, you will never be moved. As that scripture was there, and he's talking about the wind blowing where it listed, I believe he was talking about something supernatural. I believe the Holy Spirit is a supernatural being. Guess what? You can't physically see the Holy Spirit, but you can see the effects of the Holy Spirit. A few weeks ago, we were at Old Union, and God came on the scene. And guess what happened? The Spirit began to move, and people began to follow the Lord. Now, I'm of the opinion this morning that when God comes on the scene, great things can happen through the Holy Spirit. I believe this morning that what our churches need is more of the Holy Spirit. When I was preaching a couple Sunday nights ago, I preached about Elijah and Elisha. Now, Elisha asked Elijah, he said, what will I do for you? And he says, give me a double portion of thy Spirit. You see, I believe this morning, if our churches, if our people, if they really fellowshipped the Holy Spirit, our churches wouldn't be in the shape that they are today. I look around and you want to know why we're in the shape that we're in? It's because our people don't fellowship the Holy Spirit. Turn with me now to Romans in the 8th chapter. And I believe this will clear some things up. One of my favorite chapters of the Bible, of Romans at least, because it talks about a life that fellowships the Holy Spirit. I'm going to include in that a church that fellowships the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to say, today we have a lot of confusion about fellowship issues between churches and other things. But I'm glad this morning that I believe Mount Calvary and God, they fellowship one another. I'm thankful for that. When I look at these verses of Scripture, I see a life that has been Spirit-led. Paul, doing the writing, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You say, preacher, I can't walk after the Spirit. I don't know where it goes. Well, guess what? I believe God leads His saved people. I say a lot of times, if God doesn't lead you to do something, you ought not do it. Our service.
services have become so cold and so dry because people today don't know how to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, when we say, and we make as Missionary Baptists a big deal about this, we say, well, if you come to our churches, we don't have a program. Do we not? The Bible says to do things decently and in order. Guess what? In some form or fashion, we've got to have a little bit of a program. You've got to get started. You've got to get moving. So something has to lead. Now I'm going to get on Brother Colin and I'm going to get on myself a little bit this morning. I believe the song leader needs to pray about the songs that need to be sung in a service. I believe that, and I believe we have a wonderful song leader that does that. There's a lot of times those songs, they start linking up with the message, and I'm thankful for that. I'm glad for a song leader that prays. He needs to. But guess what? That doesn't exclude the rest of you. You know what the Bible says? You know how we're supposed to sing? Not with our voices. You say, preacher, how am I going to sing without my voice? The Scripture says to sing in the Spirit. How else can you sing but in the Spirit? You say, preacher, I don't really like that song. If it's a song that worships God and gives Him honor and glory, we ought to sing it with everything we have because it honors and glorifies the risen Savior. When we sing in the Spirit, you want to know what happens? God begins to be honored. God begins to be glorified. And the Spirit begins to move. I told you, some of us have probably never seen the Spirit physically. I have not seen the Spirit go around touching different people. But if you'll watch closely, when a service begins to be spiritual, you can see it moving around from people to people. Almost like you can just see it radiating off of people. I like when that happens. I really do. But guess what we can't walk after? We can't walk after the flesh and expect to be spiritual. You can't be carnally minded and be minded of the things of God. It will not work. You want to know why we're in the shape we're in our spiritual services? It's because people today, when they leave this place, they walk after the flesh instead of after the Spirit. I told you, our people have become believers that the Spirit only works between the hours of 11 and 12 on Sunday morning. We leave this place and we think that's where the Spirit ends. No, brothers and sisters. How many of you can drive your car without gasoline? My car won't go very far if I don't put some of that gasoline in the tank. Guess what? In order for you to live good Christian lives, you've got to walk after the Spirit. You need to be full of the Holy Spirit. There's a funny saying that I saw just recently. And it said, I want to be so full of the Spirit that when a mosquito bites me, it flies away saying, there's power in the blood. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we were so full of God that we radiated the Holy Spirit everywhere that we went? We're supposed to. The Bible says we're peculiar people. We're supposed to be different. Second verse, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. That's a lot of condemns and flesh and sins and all those things. What it boils down to is God came to save you from your sins. And came to save you, and then when you got saved, you walked after Him. That's what that basically means. It says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Think about this for just a moment. Who does the work of God? The Holy Spirit. Through who? Willing vessels. You can either be willing or unwilling. But God uses a willing vessel that will be filled with His Holy Spirit. It says it might be fulfilled in us. Who walk not after the flesh, but after what? The Spirit.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I've got to move on just a little bit. Like I said, I don't want to wear your patience this morning. The 10th verse, it says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. What does that mean? It means Christ's Spirit has made us alive. But you want to know what I see on a fairly regular basis? Dead people. Mm-hmm. Told you a few Sundays ago it was okay to smile. You all can wear a smile every now and then. Why? Because it has made us alive. We shouldn't act like dead people. We should act like living people. There should be something about us that moves us. You say, preacher, you don't want us to be emotional, do you? No. There is a difference in being emotional and spiritual. But guess what? When we become so full of the Spirit, it will move us. It will. You say, preacher, then maybe I don't want the Holy Spirit. Yes, you do. You really, really, really do. Now, you say, preacher, I can't testify. Not everybody is going to testify. Not everybody's going to be a shouter. I don't do it very often. Every now and then the Spirit will move that way. Doesn't happen often. But there are things that God will move on us to do. Do you know, I believe that praying should be done in the Spirit. It should. You try praying and not getting in touch with the Spirit. And then you try tossing that songbook and see how long it stays in the air. It won't very long. It's going to come crashing right back down. Why? Because nothing is sending it up to keep it up there. So when we pray, how should we pray? In the Spirit. How should we sing? In the Spirit. Why? Because He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. You know what these bodies are? They're mortal. You know what God is? He's immortal. You see, sometimes the Spirit, what it does, if you've never really been in the Spirit much, when the Spirit comes, this body that we live in can't hardly contain it. It's because it gets so close to the glory of God, this body is not able to withstand the power that it's in. You've heard me quote this scripture plenty of times. Paul told the Corinthian church, he said, I came to know nothing but Jesus Christ, but I came to preach in the power and the demonstration of what, of Paul? Of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, preaching of the cross, it takes everything out of us. Been around those services where God has really been there. Everybody walking to their cars looks like they have been beaten and worked all day. That's fine. I'd rather be worn out from the Holy Spirit as to come into church and sit here and just think that nothing has gone on. You know what really sets our churches apart from the rest of the world? Some of you are going to say singing. I think our singing sets us apart from some places. Some might say the preaching. My preaching probably isn't quite like some of the world's today. Some will say because missionary Baptists, they pray with more than one person at a time. Do you know that scares people? I don't believe in speaking in tongues, but they'll say that's what it sounds like. People pray differently. They'll say, well, that's what sets you apart. Is it your doctrines? Guess what? There are people today that get really close to what we believe in our doctrines, but are still miles and miles and miles away. Do you want to know what should distinguish our churches from the rest of the world? The Holy Spirit. It should, but doesn't. You say, preacher, you're preaching awful hard to us. You act like we don't ever have good services. We do have good services. But I want you to understand something. This message, it's not just about what happens when we meet between these four walls. Because I don't know if you've realized it or not, but the whole world's not here today.
Did you know that? They're not all here. There's a few empty seats. So not everybody that needs the gospel is here. What does that mean?
Does it mean between the hours of 11 and 12 on Sunday we're supposed to be spiritual people, and then Monday through Saturday and up till Sunday about 10:59 we're supposed to live like the world?
No.
We're supposed to be spiritually minded all the time. Minding the Spirit is life. Minding the things of the flesh, it is death. So, what does that mean? It means when we come together on Sunday morning, you can tell how people have lived all week long. Why? Because you mind the things of the flesh, you're dead. You mind the things of Christ and you're alive. Big difference, huh? Big difference. I want to move on just a little bit more, and I'm going to try to close here in just a few minutes. I know I say that a lot, but I really mean it this time. But I'm going to try to move forward. It says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. This is where I really want to get to. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know the first time we were ever introduced to the Spirit? It's when we realized that we were lost and separated from God. You know what it did? It came to us. And it said, you're not mine, but I want you to be mine. And guess what we did? We either sought God and got saved, or we rejected it and kept on going. For me, I got a lot of those. I got a lot of those. I would sit in church and my heart would just about fall out of my chest. And it would begin to squeeze and it would begin to get tight. And God would move on those people around me, and the Spirit would just beckon me. Wouldn't you come? You know what Revelation's the 22nd chapter. You know what it says at the end? It says, for the Spirit and the bride, what do they say? Stay at your seat. Go to hell? No. It says, come. Come where? To Jesus. The Spirit does that. That's the first time we meet the Spirit. When's the next time? When you get saved. You know what happens when God saves our soul? He fills us with His Holy Spirit. I'm not a holiness person. I don't believe salvation comes in increments. I believe you get it all at one time. I believe you get eternal life and the Holy Spirit all in one dose. You don't have to wait 2 or 3 days for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit and do some kind of sign. I want to get there. I promised. I told you I was going to quit. I'm going to try. We don't believe in those signs and things of that nature. You start speaking in tongues here, and I'm going to ask you to go out the door until you stop that mess. The Bible does not teach that. But what it does teach is that there are things that accompany the Holy Spirit. If I can find it this morning, I'm going to try to turn there. And I may not be able to this morning. I believe it's in 1 Corinthians, but I could be wrong. I thought I had it marked. May not. If I can't, that's fine. We'll move on. I don't know that I can find it this morning. That's okay. But it talks about the things that accompany the Spirit. You know, when the apostles were here, they could do many signs and many wonders. Things that I couldn't do, they could do. They were able to raise people from the dead. They were able to make people that were blind see. Jesus could. They were able to do lots of things that I'm not able, as a minister of the gospel, to be able to accomplish. I got it. 12th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. I knew if I went long enough, I'd find it. 12th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. Paul, doing the writing, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. He was saying, you know that ye were Gentiles carried away under these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Who are they led by? They're led by the Spirit to these dumb idols? No. That's why I said, you need to try the spirits, because not every one of them is of God. They thought they were doing the right thing, and they were doing the wrong thing. Twas whereof I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. That's why in Romans 10 it says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made." You cannot claim something if you have not been saved by the Holy Spirit. It does not work. You cannot call Jesus your Lord unless you've truly been saved by the grace of God. And the Holy Spirit has revealed that to you. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. That means every one of us has something that God allows us to do. But what is it by? Is it by 6 or 7 different spirits? No. One Spirit. Ephesians, 2nd chapter again, right before it says one Lord, one faith, one baptism. You know what it says? It says there's one Spirit. If there's one Spirit, why would it tell Sister June to do something and then tell Brother Colin to do the exact opposite of it? The Spirit will do things the right way. You want to know why all of the epistles here that Paul wrote, one of the major things that he stresses to our churches is to be of one mind and one accord. You know how you accomplish that? By the one Spirit. When we pray to God and ask Him for His guidance, guess what He gives us? The right answer. Every time. So I want to say this as well. I'm not leaving anytime soon. But someday when God releases me from here and you have to look for another pastor, you better pray that God sends the right one. I believe He did the same thing this time. Guess what? That should be how it works every time. There shouldn't be 6 or 7 different answers. There should be one solid answer from God. If that's who the Lord wants. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm kind of the same way about a revival helper. I get a little leery when there's 6 or 7 that have been brought up. I don't think God does that. I think God lets us know by His Spirit who we're supposed to deal with. I believe that's the same in our services. I really, really, really do. I know I have followed and chased a lot of rabbits this morning, and I apologize for that. I'm going to try to close here in just a moment. It says, there are differences of ministrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of the knowledge by the same Spirit. You see, sometimes God reveals things to me, and then I have to use Brother Colin for him to give him some knowledge about it, and us line up and understand what it's really talking about. Guess what? The Spirit is not going to go against the Bible. You know why I believe that? This is the inspired mind of God. You know what God won't do? He won't go against Himself. He's not a God that has 3 or 4 different opinions. He's the God that has one. His way is right. So guess what? Something that just grinds my gears is when somebody will get up and they'll say something along the lines of, well, the Lord told me I needed to go against this. And it's something the Bible says we should do. One thing I heard someone say a few years ago, they said, well, I got up one Sunday morning and the Lord told me to stay home from church. You think the Spirit is going to do that? Especially when you look over in Hebrews, it says, assemble yourselves together as often as you think good for the day that is approaching. You know what has to happen in the Spirit and the Bible? A lot of times they're going to harmonize and they're going to sync up. Please, please, please. When you think something has been given to you by the Spirit, you better make sure. You better find out. Make sure it's of God instead of something else. Trust me. It can get you into trouble. My granddad tells a story about a man who had an appointment at a church one Sunday morning. He got up and said, the Lord let him go somewhere else. You think God does that? No! That was a man's opinion. And guess what? I hope it got him into trouble. Because when you go against the Holy Spirit, you're going against Jesus and God Himself. Don't want to do that now, do we? To another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretations of tongues. You say, preacher, you just said there were no tongues in the Bible. You know what I do believe? I believe there were signs that were given to the apostles, but I believe they're done away with now. They were dealing with those things then. And guess what? Paul had to tell them, this is what this means when it comes by the Spirit. This is how it happens. I believe those signs were done away with in a lot of measures when the apostles died out. They were given those things to go around and help that little infant church there over in Jerusalem and other places that they would be in, Corinthians and Ephesians and all of these other places, and Ephesus and all of these other places. I believe they had some signs and gifts and things of that nature. But do I believe today I have the ability to walk down here and lay my hand on your head and by the Holy Spirit heal you? No. And neither does anybody else. You know who has the healing spirit today? God Himself. He's the one that heals. He's the one that does that. I can't lay my hand on your leg and make you walk. You're going to be sadly disappointed. I don't usually call people's names out, but I'm going to this morning because I want you to be leery of this man. There's a man that gets on television, and his name is Benny Hinn. Stay away from him. I believe he is of the devil. You can say what you want to, but that man does not have the Holy Spirit with him. He probably has a different kind of spirit. I'm fixing to in this up. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. I've got one more place I want to read in the Old Testament. 1 Kings 19th chapter. How does the Spirit speak to us? Sometimes it knocks on our hearts. Sometimes it knocks us out of our seats. Sometimes it sounds like He's giving us an audible voice. How He speaks to you, I can't tell you. Because I know how He deals with me. And I know how He works with me. But I can't necessarily say how He's going to do the same thing for you. But I will let you know this. If you have been saved by the grace of God, He will deal with you at some point as His child. I'm going to make a disclaimer. If God has never dealt with you, if you have never felt His Holy Spirit, guess what? You may not be one of His. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are what? The children of God. God's Spirit, when it deals with you, guess what it lets you know? You are His child. This is dealing with Elijah. 9th verse. He was trying to escape from Jezebel. He was calling on the name of the Lord. He said, he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and a strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life, and they take it away. You know what God did for Elijah? He sent this big earthquake, and God didn't speak to him. He sent a fire, and God didn't speak to him. But then how did God speak to him? This great big God that is over all of the universe, how did He speak to him? In a still, small voice. You know how God still speaks to us? Sometimes it's through the earthquake. Sometimes it's through the fire. But guess what He can do? He can get intimate with us. Talks about communion of the Holy Ghost. You want to have an intimate time with somebody, you have an intimate time with the Holy Spirit. That is communion. That is fellowship with the Holy Spirit. When He speaks in that still small voice, there's a song that we sing from time to time. He whispers sweet peace to me. He speaks in a still small voice, we're told. His voice, it dispels all fear. That Spirit. People say it didn't speak in the Old Testament. I don't know what that was, but I think that was the Holy Spirit, God Himself, speaking to Elijah. I want to say this and I'm going to close. I have a hard time with people today that come up to me and they'll say that they attend some church, but then you ask them about the Holy Spirit and they don't have the foggiest idea about what you're talking about. I've grown up in places where people shouted and they testified and they got up and they got happy and they told about what God had done for them. I believe those things are of God. I know they are. I've been led to do them myself. But does that mean just because sometimes we don't see those things that the Spirit is not here? No. Sometimes it has to be a still, small, sweet Spirit to just comfort us. The Bible says, Jesus said, I will send another comforter. Meaning the Holy Spirit. I can't be with you, but I'll send one that can comfort you. That's what it is. Call it a ghost, a comforter, the Spirit. Calls it wind. The Spirit can be all kinds of different things. But one thing that it always will be, is it will always be right. When it is of God. If it's not of God, try that Spirit and see where it's coming from. Trust me, if it goes against God, it's not Him saying that to you. If it's of God, you'll know that. I want to urge Mount Calvary Church. We need to not worry about what the world thinks about us, about what the people down the street think of us, about what our family members think of us. What we need to be concerned about is following God, following the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and make sure He is satisfied with us. I want to end with something else. I'm done after this. On this church covenant, it says, having been led, as we believe by the Spirit of God, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. I disagree with that. Disagree with that wholeheartedly. You say, preacher, why do you disagree with it? God doesn't lead lost people. But He does lead saved people. What He does to save lost people is He draws them. You see, you're blind until you're saved, and then He can open up your eyes and lead you. When you're lost, your eyes are shut, and somebody has to draw you. They have to help you. You can't do that if your eyes are closed. He can't lead you. You can't follow Him. But He can draw you. So, I have a big problem with the first sentence in that thing. I like the rest of it pretty good. But I want to encourage you in something. Please, when we're in a service, when you're out in the world, if somebody out there needs you, to tell them about what God has done for you, and you say, preacher, the Lord wasn't in that. You know what I believe? The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You don't have to be told to tell your testimony. God has given that to you. Tell the world what Jesus has done for you. Let them know. Tell the world. But let the Lord lead, guide, and direct you. I promise you, if you'll walk after the Spirit, your life will be more blessed than if you walk after the things of the flesh. While we stand together and while we sing, if you're here this morning and you're lost and God is dealing with you, I encourage you to seek the Lord while He may be found.